Children, if you could come to the front, and maybe come to this side over here. Please take a seat. And we have some special guests with us this morning. They are Austin and Annabelle.
Thank you very much for that welcome. It's good to be here. We've had a great week. And it all started... Moses, just hold on.
Hello.
It all started in Annabelle's granddad's attic. And we came across what we thought was just a book. But then, when we opened it, it turned out to be not just any book. It turned out to be the Bible. And so each and every day this last week, from Monday through to Friday, we've been turning the pages of the Bible, and it's been transporting us to all sorts of different places. And over in the corner there is an object that signifies each day that we went on an adventure. So see if you can work out what each object might mean. But we'll leave that for later. But I just want to say thanks for a great week. Thanks to God. He's always good.
Thank you, Austin and Annabelle. We're going to just give you a taster of what the children have been doing this week. And hopefully it's a bit more than a taster. Hopefully it's going to be something which inspires you as well. They've been learning scripture every day this week. And John, if you... Okay, we're going to... And you can even test them because the scripture's behind them. But they're not going to look. They're going to look this way. And are you ready? It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. 1 Samuel 17:47. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:10-11. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Luke 24:5-6. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Revelation 22:13. And we've also been learning some praise. And if you wanted to continue just earlier, then please join in these next two songs.
Jesus is Lord. If you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Be saved. Be saved. Romans 10:9. Salvation is yours and mine. Confess and believe, you will be saved. Be saved. Be saved. Jesus is Lord. If you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Be saved. Be saved. Romans 10:9. Salvation is yours and mine. Confess and believe, you will be saved. Be saved. Be saved. If confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Be saved. Be
saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation is yours and mine. Confess and believe, you will be saved. Be saved, be saved. You will be saved. Be saved, be saved. You will be saved. Be saved, be saved.
Give you some certificates, and you're also going to get some Bibles, but not just yet. So stay where you are, children. Some of what you see on the wall to the sides and this side also is some of what we've done this week, and there's more downstairs. So if you'd like to see more, then please go downstairs after the service. I'm not going to call all these adults to the front, but just to say, if you're Sarah Gear, Nigel, Dong, Elizabeth, Bissy, David and Sally, Sue, Stephen and Harriet, Chris, John, Yona, Sarah Nelson, Jez, then please don't go until you've received a card. That's how many people it takes to do a holiday club. And just a mention for Charlotte, who's led us all this week. Thank you so much. So, Millie Nelson, the certificates to reward you for your hard work and your desire and keenness in the activities. Johanna Dean, this is for your hard work and engaging with and enjoying the Bible this week. Christian Dean, this is for your exceptional concentration and commitment and your hard work this week. Moses, this is for your hard work and your wholehearted enthusiasm. And Erin Cooksey, this is for your hard work and for using your mouth to confess Jesus and speaking so politely this week. Okay, and children, you've got some special guests in Shine this week. And you might know who they are, but you can leave now with your leaders. I'm just going to read two scriptures as we prepare ourselves to give tithes and offerings. And just to say, if you're here as a guest, please don't be obliged to give. You're welcome to do so, but there's no expectation upon you to give. And we'd rather you give wherever it is that you're fed. You're welcome to give, but there's no expectation to do so. Two scriptures, one from Job and one from Luke. Job, we read, fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And Jesus wrote in Luke 11, he said to his disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread.'" God knows our needs even better than we know our own. God's already provided for each need, even the needs we do not know that we have. So whether it's metaphorically or emotionally sunny as it is now, or perhaps it's for you a bit more like it was at the start of the service. However it is for us, and if you read Job chapter 1, you'll see just what Job had, what the Lord had given him, and what the Lord took away from him. But Job chose whether he was receiving or having taken from him to praise the name of the Lord. So if you've come prepared to give, the basket's at the front, and we'll leave it here for a while. If anyone wants to come to the front, then we'll pass it around if you'd rather give that way. There's no expectation upon you to give, but in your giving, praise the name of the Lord. We're in the basket. If you do pay tax, I'll leave the envelopes and the basket on the table at the back, and please take the opportunity. You can take it now. Sorry for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that which you've given us, and we even choose this morning to be those who thank you for that which you've taken away. God, we know that you are good in all your ways. We choose to be those who praise the name of the Lord. Lord God, blessed be your name, we pray. Amen.
Great to be here. What a blessing. That was some good singing there. I'm going to need you guys to do those actions more often in worship. I think Nigel was doing well there, eh? Chris, I saw was struggling with some of the move, but no, I'm just joking. I'll take him on about that later. So great for those that are joining us from the holiday club, and it seems like the children had a lot of fun, and such a blessing to see God work in those young lives. So if you want to join me, we're just going to pray for every family that was represented there. We had last week we had one in Weybridge, so we just trust God for good seed and for taking this from glory to glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for every person that was involved with ministry these last 2 weeks to children, and we bless them, God. We bless every child in Jesus' name. We thank you for every good seed, Lord. Thank you for good seed of your word that was planted in good soil. Thank you that those seeds are incorruptible, God, and that they will accomplish and they will prosper in what you sent them to do, Lord. So we claim, Lord, 30, 60, and 100-fold seed from every fruit from every seed, God, and we thank you, Lord, for every family and every community that was represented, every nation even. We thank you for fruit unto salvation, Lord. We thank you for fruit unto eternal life, Lord. We thank you for fruit that will bring glory to your name, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray your blessing on those children, and we thank you that you are faithful to finish the good work that you started in them, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. It's a blessing to share the word this morning. I'm going to just plug this in. Okay. Just give it a moment. Maybe just, unplug that one. Great. All right. I'm just going to start from Mark chapter 10, from verse 13. Then he brought the little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, God. We thank you that your word is alive, God, and powerful. Thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And this morning we submit ourselves to your word, not to any man's opinion, Lord, but to your word. and the working of your Spirit in and through us this morning, God, in Jesus' name. We commit this time to you. We consecrate ourselves to you, Lord, and we say, Lord, have your way in us. Let your kingdom be established in and through us in this place right now, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Such a blessing to see just how interested Christ is with in children, and how serious God is about children. And few places in Scripture where God expresses a desire is where He says He has a desire for godly offspring. And for those of us that are married and that have children, and those that are going to, this is such at the core of who we are as believers in families, is that God wants us to bring up godly offspring, and He desires godly offspring. So that's exciting. At the same time, it's a bit daunting. I haven't been a parent very long. It was 3 years on Thursday, and but it's been really exciting, and it's been a really adventure. But there's something special about what Jesus says here in terms of the faith of a child, and we speak of childlike faith. And it's for a specific reason that we do that, and that Jesus mentions it here as well. If you think about it, I was trying to put my finger on it. Why do children have childlike faith? Why do they believe easily? You know, I look at my daughter Abigail. She's turned 3, and we're going to read one of her favorite bits a bit later on. But she loves to hear about Jesus' miracles, and she can't wait to get to the end. And she wants to go, yay, you know, got better, or you got healed, or whatever happened, you know, and she's just like excited about it. And some of you have heard this story, but the one time we did the story of the account of Jesus healing the lame man, and not long after that, we prayed for David, her brother. He's 11 months now, can't believe it's almost a year, and we prayed for, it was a couple of months ago, and we prayed for him. He was had a cold or something, and Abby prayed for him as well, and we laid hands on him. So great for children to be able to see this happen in real life. We read about it in the Bible, but now let's lay hand on him. You know, he's not well. So we prayed for David, and she prayed for him as well. And after praying for his cold, she prayed that Jesus would heal him, that he can walk. You know, because he's not walking. So clearly there's something wrong with this child. You know, he's crawling all over the place. But I just thought, wow, let me tell you what, the prayer is about to be answered. You know, he's very close now. And I'm going to remind her of what she prayed. But you know what, she didn't, no doubt, you know, Jesus did it in Scripture. So surely Jesus, if he did it for the man in the Bible, surely he can do it for her brother. To walk, you know, such a innocence there, and such a there's a lack of doubt there. Can you see that? Which is precious for us, and such a lot of lessons for us as adults too. Because how often, what is it? What keeps us from operating in that same faith? And I just want to throw that out there. I don't know if I'm going to be very brief this morning because we had this special service, but I want to throw that out there. What is keeping you from up walking in with childlike faith? What is keeping you from having no doubt when you're trusting God for something? And one of the things that I've found with children is they have almost no fear. A lot of the fears they pick up are learned. It's a bit scary. Where do they get them from us, unfortunately. So, I remember Abby, she has zero fear for animals, which is a bit scary sometimes when she just goes up to a dog and gives it a hug, just a random dog in the street, and a kiss, you know. So, but she's now grown to understand that some dogs are not good to kiss. All right, so I'm very glad about that. But what I remember is a couple of months ago, and maybe she literally had zero fear. She walked up to a horse and kissed the horse on the tummy because that's all she can reach, you know. And we were like, ah! But she would just go, and there was no fear there. So there's one key there, is no fear. But we teach our children to fear stuff. Obviously, some they need to learn that stuff is dangerous, but just that aspect of no fear. And the other one is that they trust easily. And I think as adults, we struggle with that sometimes. What is it that is keeping us from trusting God completely? What is it that is keeping us from putting all our trust in Him? Okay, now, in terms of ministering to children, it's such a blessing. What we've seen these last two... Oh, dear. Okay, now we'll just close these. Don't know what... Deal with this later. Okay, just ignore that. I would just want to encourage us, especially if you're a parent or if you're going to be a parent. I've got good news and maybe not so good news. But the good news is there's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no smaller version of the Holy Spirit for children. Okay? And the same Holy Spirit that is in us, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, is available for every child that would call on the name of Jesus. I remember at our conference a year or so ago, we had a special conference for the children as well. And on the one night that they prayed for Holy Spirit baptism, 70 children were baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues all at once. We had another child in Weybridge congregation the other day, she's 5, also, you know, started praying in tongues. And it's encouraging, and it's also challenging for us as parents to say, you know what, I want my child to grow up understanding the power of the gospel. I want my child to grow up living the power of the gospel, not reading about it or hearing about it only, but really living it. So as parents, let us raise up the next generation with that understanding of the power of the gospel, not just a form of godliness, as we see Scripture warns against, that denies the power of God, but the power of the gospel that is unto salvation for whoever believes. Amen. And so there's the challenge for us as parents, but also us as believers. Okay, how do we trust God? Is there fear that keeps us from trusting God and depending upon Him? And what is the ceiling of our expectation from God? It seems there's sometimes a ceiling to what is possible. My sister, when she was very small, we were going to an elephant park. I don't know if we have any of them locally, but we have one where we came from. And she was very excited. I can't remember how old she was. She was quite small, primary school, I don't know. And I remember she telling us the story years later about how she was sitting in a room. She had a little small box room, a little bit smaller than box rooms you have, bigger than the ones you have here. But and she was imagining, how big is this elephant going to be when she sees the for the first time, you know? And she thought it would be at least as big as her room. And she was, I think, looking at her room. She said, yes. And she says, no. She thought, no. The elephant's foot will be as big as her room, you know? And she was just going for it. She had such a great expectation. But that is precious. And that is, I believe, what the kind of expectation we need to come to God with. When I'm trusting Him for something, where is the ceiling? Where is the limit to what is possible with God? Where is the limit to what He can do in and through my life? Where is the limit for what He can do in somebody else's life that I'm trusting for? When you know, if you've been praying for somebody for years for them to be saved, what's the limit of what God can do in that person's life? Okay, with God there is no limit. All right, let me just say that. With Him, there's no limit. I'm just going to try and get rid of this. Sorry. Okay. Okay, so let's continue to the next one. There's something wrong with my computer. There we go. Okay. Mark chapter 10, just on in a chapter. Now, they came to Jericho. As He went out of Jericho with His disciples, and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So this is Jesus and his disciples traveling past. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. When they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, arise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And I think I read this for Abby about 3 times this week. She likes this one. I suppose the pictures in the Bible have got something to do with it. But I'm just going to pick out a few very quick thoughts of this bit of well-known miracle of Jesus. Firstly, now this guy has been blind, I'm not sure how long, but it's been a while, because he's known as blind Bartimaeus, right? So it's part of his identity. He was known as blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And now this is key. Now he's not seen Jesus, right? We know that. But he's heard of him. And something in what he's heard has convinced him that Jesus can help him, right? But I want us to look at a few things. Firstly, how does he respond when he realizes that Jesus is coming by? Okay, he starts shouting. He realizes this is it. Today is his chance. Today Christ is going to be here right there. And he grabs hold of that opportunity with both hands. And he shouts. I'm not sure. You're not even sure where Jesus is. But he's just shouting. He's going to give it everything so that, you know, that hopefully Jesus will hear. And what happens? People tell him, you know, making a noise. Please keep quiet. What do they say? They warned him to be quiet. What does he do? Does he keep quiet? No. he puts up the volume some more and he just shouts even more. He says, Jesus, you know, have mercy on me. And I want one thing that I felt is that in life, firstly, we're not always at this place where he's at. We're not desperate for Christ. We're not desperate for that healing. We're not desperate for his deliverance as this guy is. How hungry are you for what God wants to do in your life? How far are you willing to go to see his kingdom come in your life? Because people will tell you to keep quiet. And circumstances will try to keep you quiet. And other things, maybe it's fear, maybe it's a fear of rejection. There are things in our lives that keep us from crying out to God. I don't know what those are in your life, but I want to say to you this morning, cry out even more. When those things come, those things that want to keep you busy, those things that want to distract you from Jesus, your healer, or Jesus, your provider. In my life, it's a scheme. I make plans, and it distracts me from focusing on him as my provider. There's other things as well. You know, you're thinking, oh, maybe like this, or maybe like this, or how are we going to get out of this financial problem, or whatever it is. I have to be careful of scheming. I don't know what it is in your life, but watch out for it. And when those things come that want to keep you quiet, want to keep you from crying out to Jesus, then just cry out even more. Run to him. Run to him. Amen? He's our healer. Healing and salvation and deliverance and provision is in him alone. We can run to him and we can cry out. Sometimes people want us to be politically correct in how we do our faith, how we live. But when we run to Jesus, there's no political correctness. Amen? I don't know if you've heard Reinhard Bonnke speak. He's a German evangelist. And Germans, he's not a typical German. Germans are often reserved people and politically correct. And he's been told many times by a fellow countryman to just, you know what, Darren, welcome here this evening, but you know, tonight, can you please not shout at the people? You know, can you just tone it down a bit? And he tells a story of a youth meeting where he was at. I had a privilege of meeting him once, and he tells a story of a youth meeting, and he was, and people told him that before he was going to speak, he said, you know, can you please just turn down the volume a bit tonight, you know? And he said to the guy, if I see what the devil is doing to our youth in this country, I'm not going to purr like a kitten. I'm going to roar like a lion. And he went for it. But there's no political correctness when we cry out to him. Amen. When we go for what he's telling us to do. And this is the boldness I see in Bartimaeus. He cries out even more. He doesn't care what people say. He doesn't care what they say. Today, he's going to get healed. Today, he's got that expectation. There's no limit. He's got that expectation because he knows Jesus is going to be right here. And we have the knowledge that he is with us always. Amen? Okay. Now, just the second thing I want to quickly look at. In terms of running, I just felt maybe this is for somebody, but in youth, our youth pastor always used to remind us of 2 Timothy 2:22. Okay, if you're a young man, 2 Timothy 2:22 is important. It speaks of, I'm not going to put it up there, it speaks of fleeing youthful lusts. And we used to practice 2 Timothy 2:22. And he just basically said, what does it mean? It means when you get into a tempting situation, you run for your life. You run, you flee, okay? And I had this similar picture here of when we're in that situation, you realize the devil is going at me now. Just run to Jesus. Go like Bartimaeus. Go louder. Go harder. Give it everything you have. But get out of that situation, okay? Maybe that's for somebody or somebody that you know. All right. Amen. Second thing here is interesting. In those days, what you wore kind of identified where your standing was in the community. And I just want to give you, I'll show you a picture here that I got from a current example. Hey, cool. Yeah, I don't know what they're looking at, but that's the royal family. And can you see all those medals and things and uniforms? And okay, I don't think that's the Queen's official attire or anything like that. But if you can look at the men specifically in this photo, if you'd notice that if you walk past a guy like this in the street, right? Yes. And you'll notice, Singaline, if you see a job on on any day. But if you wear a uniform or something like this, it says something about who you are and what you do, right? Now, in those days, it was similar, but even more so. In the fact that, you know, the king would wear a royal robe, very specific looking robe, very specific color, the tax collectors would wear certain things, and the beggars at the same also had a beggar's cloak or beggar's robe. So Bartimaeus would have had one of those, would have identified him as a beggar, and he would then be allowed to beg because of his disability. And now, often we don't realize this, and we don't recognize what he's doing here, but I just want to read this quickly. What does he do? Because now this cloak basically identifies him as a beggar and as a blind man. And as we heard, he's known as blind Bartimaeus. So this is very much part of his identity. Okay, it's very much, this is who he is. But when they call him, so let's just read from 49. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And now he does a weird thing. He says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. It's odd. Why would you take off your robe when you go to Christ? Could it be that he had an expectation that that was his last day as a blind beggar? Could it be that he was throwing off his old identity? coming to Christ to receive a new identity. That's powerful, guys. And when we come to Jesus, we cannot allow our old identity from keeping us from receiving what he wants us to have. And this is the similar exchange happens at the cross. Is when you and I come to Jesus to be saved, we come with our sinful nature, our robe of filth and sin and just, you know, being sinful people. We come with that robe. It's disgusting. It's smelly. It's gross. We come to Christ. And we choose then, we have a choice then to give him our robe and to receive the robe that he wants to give us. I'm just going to quickly read from another piece here that illustrates this in Zechariah 3. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. And they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Beautiful picture and illustrates, and that exact thing happens when we come to Christ. When you and I are born again, he takes our filthy robes, he takes our sinful nature, he takes our guilt and our shame, he takes everything from our past. Once and for all, he removes it from us. He takes our identity as a sinful, he takes our that nature, that sinful nature, he takes it away, and he replaces it with the identity of his son. The royal robe, the beautiful robe that in the spiritual realm everybody can see when you're born again, you're royalty. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus and you are now royal. Amen. Guys, the problem we have is how often do we hang on to those things? How often do we find ourselves putting some of that stuff back on again? When the enemy comes with accusations, when he comes with reminders of the past, of what you've done and where you've been. And we're like, you know what? I'm actually such a terrible person. I'm a sinner. Yes, that's right, but you've been saved by grace. You are now a son and the daughter of God. He's taken away those things once and for all. He's washed you clean. Don't take that stuff up again. Amen. And daily in our daily walk, when we come to him, don't come as a beggar. Come as a son. Come as a daughter. Come with an expectation to receive from your Heavenly Father. Come with an expectation that the same one whose grace was sufficient for you and I to be saved and to be healed and to be delivered, that same grace is available for your neighbor, for your friend, for your colleague, the person that you're trusting for, the person that you're praying for. That same grace is sufficient. Amen? Lay aside those filthy robes. Leave them there. As Paul says, I press forward. I leave what is behind. Forget about that. I push forward. I press forward towards the upward call of God in Christ. Press us forward. Okay, I need to close. So I'm going to close with this. Romans 5. When we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Guys, if I have to think about this, I love my family. God has really blessed me with a beautiful family. I'd like to think that I would, in any situation, without blinking an eye, step into a danger or, you know, even danger of death to protect my family. Amen? And I think any of us here will be able to say the same. Those we love, right? But to be honest with you, I don't think I'm at this place where I'm willing to die for an enemy. But yet, that's what we were. when Christ died for us. We were enemies. That's how he demonstrates his love, that when we were against him, when we were his enemies, when we were the ones, but because of our sin, he was put on the cross. That's when he forgave us. That's when he died for us. That's when he demonstrated his love. So I want to say to you, is there anything that you can do as a Christian to earn more love? That doesn't make sense. Because he gave his love, he demonstrated it, he gave his life when you were his enemy. Right? How can you earn more of that? By doing good things or praying harder or striving or trying to perform for him. Don't stress about that stuff. Pursue his kingdom. Amen. Don't fall for those accusations and stuff that want to keep us busy trying to prove ourselves to God, trying to please him, trying to earn our salvation, earn his forgiveness, and earn his acceptance. Run with what he puts in your hand. Son and daughter of God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I want to close. Okay, so there's just a couple of things that I feel we need to pray for. Firstly, if you're a parent here or you're going to be a parent, if you want to choose and make a decision this morning and just make a stand and say, Lord, I want to bring up godly offspring. And even I want to say, even if you're not a parent in the natural, if you decided you don't want to have children, then you're going to have children in the spirit. I mean, so all of us are going to have those, all right? It's good news maybe for somebody. All of us are meant to bear children in the spiritual. In other words, we father people, we lead people to salvation, and we disciple them, right? So whether you, not only in the physical, but also in the spirit, choose this morning as you're going to bring up godly offspring that will grow up with an understanding and living the power of the gospel. Amen. So I want to pray for that. And actually, let's just pray for that now. Every eye is closed. If that's you this morning, you want to make a stand for that. You want to make a decision this morning, and you want to say, God, I have a desire. I want to partner with you to bring up godly offspring. I want my children to be filled with the Spirit. I want them to live in the fullness of the Spirit from the early age as possible, God. I want them. If that's you this morning, I want you just to raise your hand, and we're just going to pray together and trust God for that. Father, we thank you that you see every hand, you see every heart, Father. And whether we have children in the natural or not yet, or we're bearing children in the Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we choose to this morning to say, yes, God. We want to bring up godly offspring, Father. We want to bring up children in the fear of the Lord. We want to see our children in the spirit and also in the flesh, Lord. We want to see them grow and walk in the power of the gospel, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that we can declare and we can live that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For whoever believes, God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for grace this morning. We thank you for impartation of boldness for us as parents and disciple makers. We thank you for a boldness to impart, Lord, to the little ones. And Lord, to model, Father, to lead them in this, God, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that you, Yahweh, Father, we pray you pour out your Spirit on all flesh, Lord, on the young ones and the old ones. God, in our families, Lord, that even the young ones will be filled with your power, filled with your Spirit, God, in Jesus' name. That's what we have this. We just want to bring our expectation to you, Lord. Say, Lord, with you, nothing is impossible, Father. We trust you, God, that our littlest ones, Lord, the smallest ones, they will dream dreams, they will see visions, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring them before you this morning. And us as parents, God, we receive grace, Lord, to model it, to live it, God, and to bring up godly offspring, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your anointing this morning. Thank you that you anoint every person here, Father, that has raised their hand specifically, that you anoint us, God, with a grace, Lord, to follow you, Lord, and to say to our children, follow me as I follow Christ. follow me, that we can boldly, as we follow you, Lord, that we can have our families follow us, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you for release of that impartation. Thank you for release of that anointing this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. The second thing I want to pray for, while every eye is closed, if you're here this morning and you know there have been times when you should have been running to God. You should have been running to Christ. You should have been running to the cross, but yet other stuff was pulling away your attention. Maybe you were making plans. Maybe you were striving. Maybe you were trying to fix it in the flesh, or you were leaning on the arm of the flesh, as Scripture says, or you trying to do it in your own strength, or trying to sort this out yourself. I don't know what your situation is, but what is that? What are those things that keep you from running to Him? What are those things that try to keep you quiet? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's the enemy that is ministering to you in shame and guilt, and he says, "No, you can't come to God. No, you can't cry out to Him because of this stuff that you've been doing, or that thought, those thoughts that you've been entertaining." Whatever it is, if you want to step free, if you want to step away from those things, and if you want to choose this morning to grab every opportunity to run to Him. No political correctness. No, nothing can keep us when we run to Him. If that's you this morning, and there's another group I want to pray for, but I'll just do that in a moment. If that's you this morning and you want to just bring something before God that's keeping you from crying out to Him, let's just, you know, if you can just, where you're at, just where you're standing, just raise your hand to Him and bring that thing before Him. Whatever it is that sometimes keeps you quiet, keeps you from crying out, keeps you from warring in the spirit for your family, keeps you from stepping out of the boat, keeps you from stepping into your inheritance. If that's you this morning, just bring that thing before God. Lord, we yield our hearts to you, Father. We bring fear before you. We bring fear of man before you. Lord, we bring fear of rejection before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Anything that is binding your people this morning, we yield it to you now in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, God. That is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And as we lay these things down, Lord, we thank you that you make us free again. Thank you that we can step away from these bondages, God, and receive that freedom that is in Christ, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for a boldness to cry out even more when circumstances press, when everything comes at us from every side, that we will cry out even more to Christ, that we will run even harder to you, Lord Jesus, that we will push even stronger into you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. Thank you for that boldness. Thank you for that fearlessness. Thank you, Lord, for a determination, God. Thank you for a perseverance to press into you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. And finally, this morning, while every eye is closed, if you're standing here this morning and you're still sitting with your old identity, you've been trying to follow Christ. You've been trying to do things. You've been trying to be a good person. But you're still struggling. It's as if you know there's something amiss in your relationship with Christ. There's something that hasn't completed. There's something that is not sitting right. And you know where you're now. You're not at the right place with God. You need to come to Him. You need to throw off your robe of filth and sin. You need to throw off your robe of guilt and shame and receive the royal robe this morning. If that's you this morning, and if you haven't got a relationship with the Father this morning, and you need that, you know you need to come to Him. If that's you, if you want to lift up your hand, I want to pray with you this morning. With every eye closed. Okay, amen. And just in addition to that, if you know you're born again, and you know you're fine with your relationship with God, but sometimes you find yourself putting on the old stuff. You find yourself going back. You find yourself listening to the accusations of the enemy. And you find yourself not walking in your royal identity. You find yourself not walking as in a co-heir with Christ. You find yourself walking like almost like a beggar, dependent upon your circumstances. If that's you, let's just bring that before God this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can throw off the old things, Lord. We can throw aside the old garments, Lord. We can throw aside the filth of the, and the shame and the guilt of our past in the name of Jesus, God. And thank you, Lord, that we can run to you, Jesus, this morning. Lord, we run to you, Lord, because our healing is in you, Lord. Our deliverance is in you, Lord. Our salvation is in you alone, God. And we throw aside every other thing, Lord. We throw aside even the accusations of the enemy this morning. And we receive this morning, Lord, again, the royal robe in Jesus' name. We thank you for that we are rooted and grounded in Christ, Lord. We thank you that each person here, Lord, that you impart to them this morning an absolute conviction of your love, God. An absolute conviction that nothing can separate them from the love of God. An absolute persuasion that they are royalty, Lord, that they are walking as that we are, each of us here, co-heirs with Christ, Lord, and also co-workers with Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we thank you for salvation, Lord. And I pray for every person here, even as we walk with this expectation that with you nothing is impossible. I thank you even this week, Lord, that you'd open our eyes to see opportunities, God, to impart life to those around us, God. I thank you, Lord, that you'd lift up the ceiling of our expectation of what you are able to do, Lord. That we would trust you for the ridiculous things, trust you for salvation of people, trust you for healings and people to be delivered, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for even this week that we can partner with you and see your kingdom come in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let your name be glorified, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. thanks for your time this morning. I was going to close with this scripture that I mentioned in the prayer, but if you need to respond to the message this morning, if you know God has spoken to you, and you need to throw aside some stuff from the past, maybe it's even just you fall for those accusations of the enemy. I want to pray for you this morning. Okay. God has got an inheritance for us every day. Us as his sons and daughters, every day is an inheritance. There's fullness. There's resurrection life every day. Not just Sundays, not just every second day, not just when it's good weather, every day. Amen. If that's you and you need to grab a hold of that robe and you need to receive, it's there. Nobody's taken it away. It's just whether you're living in that or not. I mean, if you need to do that, and you please come to the front. We pray for you. Or if you want to respond for any other part, and you know God has spoken, you want to respond to that, do it now. Amen. He's spoken now. Someone encourage you. Don't put it off. We tend to then not do it. Amen. So if you need to respond, join me in the front. We pray with you. But if you have any other prayer need, we also want to pray with you. I don't have the answer for you, but I know somebody does. Jesus has not changed his mind about healing. Amen. Abby prayed for me the other day and I was healed. Amen. And David's going to walk any day now. So the miracles are hard and coming. So if you need a miracle of healing or whatever you need, please come to the front. Amen. We'll pray together. God bless you. Please join us for some refreshments. And have a wonderful week. Bless you.